Okay, you're good.
Okay. We'll open up the work session. So might as well talk about the parkland swap with the Whitney Park property.
So I put a map up there if anybody wants to look at it, but it's an exact acre for acre swap. We're getting land fronting on Hinkle Boulevard, squaring up our western property boundary. He's getting the remnant piece to the west of our back lot line, our new back lot line that fronts Oswego Road. The appraisals, the what's called Lot 2 on Oswego Road, appraised for $41,000. What's called Lot 1 on Hinkle that we're taking, appraised for $59,000. So the we're getting a more valuable piece of property in exchange for a less valuable piece of property. What we want to do as far as doing a nature walk or a trail extension through there, it's much better land because it doesn't have the steep slope going back up to 48, and it's significantly drier than the piece that we have going west that he is taking. So it's a good move for us. He really wants the land just because he wants to build a shed on the side of his house. It's not developable land. About 20 feet off of the road, that property drops about 40 feet at a one-on-one slope, and you would need to put a mountain to fill in there if you're ever going to try to build anything. With that being said, he is willing to accept a deed restriction that doesn't allow him to further subdivide it or construct a new residence on it.
Well,
if you look at the resolution I drew, it says that in the resolution.
Okay.
I was going to say, so we're going to replace resolution B with the resolution that Tony drew up.
Okay. Which is on item.
It's also subject to permissive referendum, so we have to publish it.
Sure.
Okay, so this will be resolution F then, right?
This will become B.
Yeah,
okay.
Become B.
I got you.
So because this is an action by the town board, we got to go through a seeker. You'll see I filled out part one. This is about as benign as you can get from an environmental standpoint because it's really just moving a line on a map, not disturbing anything. So if you flip to the fourth page of the packet that I gave you, which is the short environmental assessment form, part two, impact assessment, we have to go through those questions one through 11 and indicate if there is a moderate to large impact or no or small impact. So I'll read the questions, say what I feel the answer should be. If anybody disagrees or wants to have a discussion, speak up. Will the proposed action create a material conflict with an adopted land use plan or zoning ordinance? No. Will the proposed impact?
Okay, hold on a second.
Yep.
Now, this isn't going to be like when we did the seeker with the property on Hinkle Boulevard. We were saying no because all we were doing was enlarging it. When we just change, there's no impact at all just by changing the.
All we're changing is ownership.
Ownership. So
we're not doing anything.
Why do we even have to do the seeker?
Well, we looked through the type 2 actions,
mm-hmm.
and there's one of the sections in there that says if you're doing more than 25 acres of land.
Or less than 25 acres for park. Yeah.
Al and I thought, we probably don't need to do this, okay?
Okay.
But because people out there are, looking to see all the things that we're doing wrong, let's just do it and get it out of the way.
Okay.
If we were buying the land outright,
yeah.
Would we have to do this?
No.
If this gentleman Whitney was buying our land outright, would he have to do this?
Or donating the land to us, would we have to do this?
So
because there's when you think about it from an environmental standpoint,
No, I
know the reality, but the reality in my head apparently is different than the reality in other people's heads. So I want to make sure that it doesn't matter. When we say no, it's not going to create a material conflict with the adopted land use plans. It doesn't matter what we plan on using it for, although what we're using it for is going to be benign, but that doesn't matter either. Okay.
Because, right. I mean, you would think about any other piece of land. Mm-hmm. You know, you may buy a piece of property, but you don't know for sure what you're going to do with it.
Yeah.
It's got to be in accordance with the land use plan.
I gotcha.
Which is part, in this case, part.
Gotcha. So
we will have to do, if we build the trail.
Yeah, we have to do this later.
We'll
and then there
later.
Would yeah. Then we'll have an actual one. I realize that.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Then we're doing
all right.
Will the proposed action result in a change in the use or intensity of the land? No. Because right now there's no plans for it. We're just changing the line of the map. Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of the existing community? No. Will the proposed action have an impact on the environmental characteristics that caused the establishment of a critical environmental area? We don't have any critical environmental areas in Lysander, so no. Will the proposed action result in an inverse change in the existing level of traffic or affect existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walkways? No. Will the proposed action cause an increase in the use of energy and it fails to incorporate reasonably available energy conservation or renewable energy opportunities? No. Will the proposed action impact existing public-private water supplies, public-private wastewater treatments, utilities? No and no. Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of important historic, archaeological, or architectural or aesthetic resources? No. To note, this both parcels are covered by an archaeologically sensitive area as identified by SHPO, but in this instance, because we're not disturbing any soil, there is no impact.
Okay.
The proposed action result in an inverse change to natural resources, e.g. wetlands, water bodies, groundwater, air quality, flora, fauna? No. Will the proposed action result in an increase in the potential for erosion, flooding, or drainage problems? No. Will the proposed action create a hazard to environmental resources or human health? No.
See, and because the proposed action is just a change in deed ownership.
Right. Yep.
Okay.
If we were going to construct something, you know, we would, they might say, well, all right, we're not doing anything.
When we do decide to construct a trail there, we'll
then that's going to be
contact SHPO and get a letter, no effect letter.
Right.
They're not going to give us an effect letter for building a trail on that parcel. It's just not something that they're going to be concerned with.
So I'm all in favor of this, as I think you guys know.
The resolution also says includes that there's no significant effect on environment.
Right. On the, I was unclear on the one for lot one, which is the land that we're getting. It says the parent parcel is recreational, blah blah. A total of 21.99 acres, of which only 9.1 acres are to be appraised. How come? Why did we do that?
Because we're only appraising the parcel that we're getting.
Oh, we're only going to get 9 acres.
We're swapping 9.1 acres for 9.1 acres.
Okay.
He owns the rest of
no,
the
I got it. Thank you.
So the next work session agenda item I put up was town building HVAC maintenance contract. So currently we only have a maintenance contract for this building here. With True Town Mechanical, it was automatic renewal. It's been in place for 5 years. They called me and said that, hey, you know, you've held this rate for 5 years, you gotta raise your rate. I asked for a quote in addition to this building. I asked for a quote for the highway garage and the trooper barracks. We exceeded our threshold from a procurement standpoint with the three buildings included. So I'm gonna work on getting two additional quotes. I hope we can continue to work with Town Mechanical simply because they're AP Plumbing now. They're a local company. They've given us good service, but we gotta reach out and get two more quotes before we can move forward with this. the bottom line is we haven't been doing a good job of maintaining the HVAC system at the highway garage. We don't have any annual maintenance service contract with us or at the trooper barracks. So we, it seems like the trooper barracks every year for the AC system, we end up paying for an emergency call to get their AC running because it clogs up on them. And this should prevent that from happening and save us a few bucks.
Great. And I just want to make sure, are we moving on to other things or are we done with that?
I'm done with that. Yeah, I guess that's all I had to do.
I think it's just the wording. On line A for the trucks, we're trading in two trucks and getting
Yeah, I know.
And we're getting two trucks.
I got to fix that, yeah. Okay.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's going to take 30 weeks, but I'm surprised we're able to swap them. Even up with the price increase and everything, but the mileage on the one we have now is so low, I think it's around 10. By the time we get rid of it, it'll be about 18. And Kevin's
looking. I called today, they're not opening up the truck out of the 150 until mid-September.
Okay, but he knows to call you when then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually put on my calendar to call him.
Okay. Yeah, so we're going to try and do the same thing with the Park 150. That one right now has 1,000 miles on it. So if we can, if we can continue to do this, I mean, like with the Park thing, we bought it a couple of years ago, haven't even done an oil change, and we still have a new car, and we always have a warranty under it.
Right.
So that's what we're trying to do with them, yeah. Especially with the highway ones.
I don't know if it's worth looking into or not, but with the way used vehicles are selling price-wise right now, it might be worth throwing them on Auctions International, and we might be able to make a couple bucks on it, quite honestly.
The problem with that is,
we're trading it in.
Yeah, we'd have to get rid of them, and then we don't have the use of them. You know, it's going to take.
I wouldn't put them on Auctions International until we knew we were within a few weeks of delivery of the new one.
Yeah, that's 30 weeks away. That's something we can.
Yeah.
We could certainly.
Right now,
or maybe they're factoring that in with the trade in.
We're going to know approximately when they're going to be coming in because we'll get the notification when they ship from 4 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, when that time comes, if we want to throw them up on Auctions International, we might.
Especially this one.
Especially is. Yeah, being a 150, especially because it's.
Yeah.
It's an in demand. Well, it's a nice color from
miles that are low,
and it's only 1,000 miles on.
Yeah.
You know, even if it had 1,500 miles on it, then it'll.
Yeah.
I mean, when we paid like 27,000 for it, Kevin, does that sound right? I mean, we pay a very, very discounted price when we buy it.
Yeah, they go up each year. I mean, that went up 2,000 from the year before. Well, the one we bought the previous year was 25.
Yeah.
We drove it a year and traded in for a truck that was worth $27,000 for nothing. So we got a more valuable truck, and then we got 5 years of warranty on it.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to continue to do that as long as we can.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. This year I'm surprised that we're going to be able to do it. But. So in any event, we can't.
These vehicles are selling so high right now.
Yeah, we can't make out any worse. That's for sure. So we got on those two things.
Wow, that's all I had.
I was off last week, so I didn't come up with anything. So.
I was gonna say I can give updates on what we had for damage today, but I kind of ran through it a little bit before.
Might as well.
And I have a question on an item.
Go ahead.
That just because we haven't talked about this topic in a while, item C, the street light maintenance contract.
Mm-hmm.
Could you?
Yeah, give me some updates on that for sure. Got some good news. The PSC finally approved our purchase.
Okay.
We have to have a contract in place when we close with National Grid, which is why we have bids due back on September 15th for this contract.
Okay.
The goal is to close that third week in September, the week of the 20th of September.
Mm-hmm.
Then the retrofit will start.
Awesome.
So we're
good.
Getting to the finish line on that finally.
Oh, I'm glad.
It only took the PSC and National Grid to a year and a half to finally approve it.
It's been a while since we've even discussed it.
We finally got that done.
All right.
So that's a big hurdle. We got a couple little logistical things that we're working through in that our contract with Danforth required them to provide the decommissioning bond. And now I'm hearing that National Grid will not accept a decommissioning bond from our contractor. They want a decommissioning bond directly from the county. So that's going to have to work out as a change order to the contract price with Danforth, and that we'll do a change order reduction in the total contract amount based on whatever that bond costs us. And we'll still require a performance bond, seeing as the decommissioning bond really was the performance bond. We didn't put a performance bond in the contract. We'll ask Danforth for a performance bond as well. That's the way I pitch it to him. Other than that, logistically, everything went, now it's just a matter of National Grid's attorneys giving us a closing date and a routing number to wire them on the money.
Which could take another year.
No, actually, Dave Hess said that they've been moving fairly quick on those. Usually they're within a month. So he's really pushing them to, because we're in good shape because we already did the bond. We already have the money in our account. It's merely a, hey, you tell us when you want us to wire the money, we'll come sign the documents and move along, basically, so that we can start seeing some of the savings. Because
I'll refresh my memory, because I really can't remember, and this doesn't apply to the, I don't know what it's called, the lights on Plainville Road, though, right?
It does. It does. They're going to put LEDs in those Cobras.
Okay, and they'll... We no longer have this contract. They'll be responsible for
that? No, we are.
We are.
Right now, we're paying...
Oh, right.
Yeah, we're paying like $800 a light for them to maintain those Cobra headlights on Plainville Road. $800 each.
I know.
A year.
Okay.
It's a crazy number for a maintenance fee.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Al. That is good news. I'm glad. Yeah. Finally. We just haven't talked about it in so long.
So the
and I knew it was a money saver.
I'm going to structure that in an effort to try to save money. In that, it's going to be a day rate contract. And once a month, we will any lights that are out, we'll give the contractor a work order ticket.
No cost to the
for lights that are out, he'll go out, repair, do any repairs, whatever he's got to do, and then we'll have unit prices for if somebody hits a pole and he has to replace a pole. If a fuse disconnect goes out, what the new fuse disconnect is. So that's kind of the way I'm going to structure it.
So these are LED lights. So a short from hitting a pole, what?
I mean, you got a fuse disconnect there that could go bad. The fuse and the disconnect could go bad. There's not much there. There's not much there. I guess a circuit board and an LED could fry, but they've got the actual lights we're getting have a 10-year warranty on them.
Right, they're going to fry.
Even if they do fry, we might pay for some labor to swap out the part, but we're not going to pay for a new light, at least for 10 years.
Great.
So,
good. That's great.
We should save some money.
Yeah,
well, that was the whole LED bulbs in my house all the time, so I'm not a believer yet. I'm always replacing LED bulbs in my house, all the time.
They have it in my overhead ones.
Yeah. I was gonna say, they do last longer, but they're gonna get a 10 year warranty, okay.
Oh, right, that's a no brainer.
Okay, we'll pay a contractor to swap that fixture out.
Yeah.
It's not going to cost that much for a day rate. And there's no sense in every time we got a light out having a contractor mobilize a bucket truck to change a fixture. I think it's going to cost it, but then you got to get it worked into their schedule. I think it's easier to just once a month. Here's four lights that are out. Go fix them.
Yep.
National Grid. You've seen how fast National Grid responds, Jeff.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying.
They're not a ball of fire.
It's not. Yeah, I mean, a month is not. Yeah, I mean, it goes by.
So I think it'll save us some money doing it that way.
Yeah, I agree.
My goal was to have that spec and contract written today, but my time got eaten up by a 6-inch rainfall event last night. So I got some work to finish that up tomorrow morning, but I've got a brief concern. I'll have it wrapped up by the end of the day.
You know, continuing that curiosity, and it's just because I really don't know. So the lights on Plainville Road, that is a lighting district. So the folks who live on Plainville Road pay for that?
Yep. Or
is from what end to what end, do you know?
I don't know the exact boundaries, but it's the area where lit. Yeah, the area that's lit. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but it's pure total blackness wherever you're driving. And then all of a sudden you hit in the middle of nowhere these streetlights. And they start arbitrarily and end arbitrarily.
Just like there's arbitrarily sidewalks there all of a
sudden. Oh, that's right.
Route 31. Yeah. I don't know where everybody's walking to, but we got sidewalks there that actually we own and have to maintain. As an agreement with the New York City.
370 in Plainville?
Yep.
I know.
Yeah, those are ours. That we have to, it's our responsibility to fix those when they fall apart.
Well, with nobody walking on them, they should last a while.
This stuff growing up through.
Yeah.
So the lighting district would in the past would be the ones paying the $800 a light every year.
Yes.
So they are going to be. They're just going to be.
Oh yeah,
excited
they're see,
that they're
like a district like Plainville has. It's not like their lighting district costs all that much. It works out to be $70-$80 a household annually. Yeah, you know what I mean. But now it's going to be $35-$40 a household, and that's with a pretty big contingency built into it for light replacement.
Right.
So,
right now, are we paying two fees? Though we're paying the existing fee through Grid for the maintenance, and we're also paying the bond fee. Though
we are because we haven't closed yet. But once we close, then the
Grid fee goes by.
The Grid fee goes away, and our bond fee is less than what significantly less than what we're paying in National Grid maintenance.
So let's start closing.
So. This is one step.
This is a big step, right? This is a big step.
That's good.
Great. That's it. Do you have an executive session tonight? Because if you do, you can do it now.
You know what? We could go into executive session now to. We could give you an update on the contract.
Well,
all right.
Take advantage of the time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I move.